This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, unto which thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I command thee in the sight of God, who maketh all things alive, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he so show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. This is God's word.
Open up, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 8. 1 Samuel, chapter 8. The scripture reading that Brother Todd read gives us a thought into some of the context of what we're going to look here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, as the Bible gives us a glimpse of the people of Israel during the time before the reign of David. If you remember in the Bible, after God brought the people into the land of Israel, they did not have a king. They did not need a king to rule over them. They had God sufficient for them. And they chose not to obey God, but to run after false idols. And every time they ran after a false idol, when they turned away from God, God would send enemies to infiltrate the land and take over their property, or have them submit to their authority. And so God would raise up these judges who were appointed leaders by God to turn the people back to God and to lead them in the ways of God. And you have in the book of Judges, this back and forth, this cycle of the people turning from God, God raising up a judge, and then they turned back to God and restored them. And it got to the point where the people were dissatisfied with that sort of system that God had established for them. And in chapter 8, we read of the intent of the people and what they want. They became jealous of the surrounding nations and the way the surrounding nations had their authority set up. And so, starting in verse 1, now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. This is an interesting insight, that you raise your children in the fear of the Lord as best as you are able, but that does not guarantee that they will walk in the ways of the Lord, because they have to decide for themselves. They don't get to heaven on your coattails. And here is faithful Samuel, who was always faithful, had children who walked away, at least at that time. Little insight there. And then you compare that with Eli, who was a priest who had sons that did not follow, and that was directly a result of his bad parenting. So you have both dynamics there. But it says here in verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, and said to him, look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. When you're bothered in your spirit, you pray to the Lord. When you're rejoicing in your spirit, you pray to the Lord. You give it all to the Lord. Amen. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." They made the decision. They were not satisfied with God being their king, and so they decided to have a human king as a result. "According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also." They wanted to be like the nations around them. "Now therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots to be his horsemen. And some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. He will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, but we will have a king over us." What God was trying to tell the people, if you want a king, just be aware having a king has consequences. Amen. Having a king will have consequences, a human king. They rejected God as their king. To have a human king will have consequences. He said that he would grant them their request, but he wanted to warn them. If you have a king, that human king will force you into the military. If you have a king, that king will force you into labor to work for him. He will tax you very high to pay for his own ambitions. And what you see in history, in the Bible, you see when you set up a human being with a sinful heart in the highest place of authority, often the case, bad things happen. Amen. When you set up a sinful heart and give them authority without checks and balances, just say, "Reign over us, just lead us." Often the case, that sinful heart seeks things for itself at the expense of the people. Amen. And you look in history, there are cases when there are kings who are good kings. You look in the book of Kings and Chronicles and such, and you see that there's a bad king, but then there's a good king. But when you look at the good king, the king is good because he submits to his king. You hear that? The king is praised when he follows with all his heart the king of Israel. By and large, you look at history throughout the nations, and when there's a man or a woman placed in the highest place of authority without accountability, given unilateral decision making, usually the people suffer. Even Solomon in all his glory and all of his wonder, Even the people said about Solomon when he died, they said to his son Rehoboam, Solomon was a taskmaster on us. We are weary from serving him all these years. Will you lighten the load? And Rehoboam consulted with the old wise men and told him to heed the voice of the people. But he instead went to the young men, his buddies, and he said, what do you think? And they said, instead, tell the people that my father reigned with a sword. I'm going to reign with scorpions. And he said that his reign would be even more of a burden on the people. So the people here are deciding that they want a sinful human heart to be in that position that should have been only reserved for God. And as a result, bad things happened, as you read with Saul. In a way, I want to be careful. In a way, you know, we're celebrating the founding of this nation. And you look at the history of the founding of this nation, in a way, our forefathers responded better than God's chosen people in that day. No, I'm not saying that America is better than the chosen people or anything like that, but you look at how the people handled this idea of having a person with a sinful heart in the highest place of authority. The founders of America realized there's a problem with that. Because at the time, they had a human king reigning over them. Why do we call it Independence Day? Because this country discovered its independence from tyranny. And we became a nation of freedom. Amen? That's what we sing about. You had this human king, King George, who was exercising his authority over the colonists at their expense for his gain, being unfair, and taxation without representation, and all these things were happening, and the forefathers realized there's a problem with this. A government is better when there's not one sinful human heart in charge. A government will be better for the people when there's checks and balances, when there's accountability, amen? And so, the forefathers made the decision that we are going to declare independence from this tyranny. Because they realized that we have to be a nation under God, endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, and figure out a system that we can flourish the way God wants us to flourish. Amen. The way God wants us to flourish. And so you have some important dates. Now bear with me, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? June 14th is an important day in many respects. It was June 14th, 1775. In the midst of this battle that was beginning and raging on, the colonists realize that they are no match for Britain, for this tyrannical system and government, unless they could have a way to defend themselves, a way to oppose this evil. You had the battles of Lexington, and you had the battle of Concord, and they realized we're separate colonies, but we need to band together, and so they came together, and they established our first militia. This country established its first army. How many of you have served this country in our military? Raise your hand. We praise God for you. You gave your time, you gave your lives because you knew that this country had things going for it and you wanted to keep it that way. Praise the Lord. Well, it all started on that day, June 14th, 1775, when they banded together. They said, we need to have a militia, so they formed the army. And from that day, they had a grouped offense and defense against the tyranny that was their way. We will willingly fight against the tyranny. They were farmers. They were preachers. They were everyday people who came together and said, we will support the cause of freedom. June 14th, a couple of years later, June 14th, 1777, the same group of forefathers came together and said, we are going to be a nation of the people, by the people, for the people. We need a flag to represent ourselves. And so the American flag was adopted on June 14th, 1777, though it's in a different, it was a different state than it is now. But the highlight of the flag that they chose were that there was these stars that represented individual colonies that represented the people's ability to reign and to govern themselves. That it would not be one man in charge, but it would be a plethora of responsible citizens under God. The way the Israelites were supposed to be. Yes, June 14th is a very important date. In fact, recently, June 14th, 2025, was an important day because we are here as an American nation still. Though the foundations are crumbling, we are still Americans. We are still a people of the people, by the people, for the people. And we still have an army, a militia, a military that some of you gave your time and life for. I'm wearing a tie. I don't know if you noticed, it's patriotic. If you look close. And it's got the Statue of Liberty on it to represent the freedom we have for me to stand here and wear this and voice things and for you to listen. This tie was given to me by your mom, Deb, Sandy Richards. It was Jack Richards' tie. He served in the military, you know. Fight for this freedom. And June 14, 2025, we were honoring those who served. Praise God. We were honoring those who served by saying we're still a nation without a king. And so we can be a nation under God without a sinful human heart usurping that for himself. And I'm okay with that. I'm thankful for that. I used to be in the marching band. Have any of you ever been in the marching band? You remember in school? Did you march down the streets of your city on important patriotic days to honor the people who served? Why? Because you wanted to be thankful and grateful for the freedom you have to march. Did it cost money? Yes. You did it to honor those who served. I'm okay with that. But then there are thousands who gathered all over to hold a protest called the No Kings Protest. I'm going somewhere. And I thought when I heard this, I didn't even really hear about it until after the fact, because I wasn't paying attention. And I thought, that's a silly thing. We don't have a king. And they're protesting an event that celebrated the fact that we don't have a king. And I thought that was a great insult to the people who died for the freedom of this country, so we would not have a king to exploit their service. We have a president. I don't agree always with everything, but he's a president. He has authority to make decisions, and people voted him in through the democratic republic that we have, and he exercises authority that he's been given and can do things, and we want him to do things, and he may not do things that I agree with. For the most part, I like what he's doing. But if he does something I don't, I could say so. If it was a king, you couldn't say so. Because the king would hear your opposition and gather you up and throw you in jail or kill you. And this is where I'm going with this. Then you have the Christians who join in with this mentality and they say, amen, we have no king but Jesus. We have no king but Jesus. And I think to myself, it's true, isn't it? We ought to have no king but Jesus. Praise God, America has no king. But we want Jesus as our king. So I think to myself, when I hear people saying we have no king Jesus, I ask, do you realize what you're saying? When you get out there and you say we have no king but Jesus, do you realize who you are saying you are following? The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 to 16, that Jesus is the blessed and only sovereign or potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King. He has dwelling in unapproachable life. He is immortal. No man can see, and to him be honor and everlasting power. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In Luke chapter 23 verse 3, Pilate says, are you the King of the Jews? And he answered them and said, it is as you say. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 12 to 14, the Bible says, the 10 horns which you saw are the 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. In Revelation chapter 19, the Bible says in verse 11, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he has a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh written a name, King of kings and Lord of lords. I wonder if the same liberals who are using Jesus to justify the nonsense that is going on in this world would say, that king is my king. We don't have a king in this country, but as Christians, we do have a king. Amen? And who is it? King Jesus. And we will submit to him, and we will do his will. So I have to ask the question, if Jesus is your king, then you better support the pro-life movement. Why? Because God created that little child in his image and knows them from the moment of conception, and so they are his, and he wants them to live. If Jesus is your king, then this book is not some historical insights. This book is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. Because Jesus said it was. I wonder if they would say Jesus is their king in that regards. If Jesus is your king, then you know that a man cannot be a woman, and you know that a woman cannot be a man, and you know that a man ought to marry a woman, and a woman a man, and not a man a man, and not a woman a woman, and a woman can't be a man, and a man can't be a woman. You know it, because King Jesus says so. If Jesus was your king, you would value gathering together with God's people to seek his face in humility more than going to see your nephew at the sports game. Because it's worth it. If Jesus was your king, you would want to uphold the things which King Jesus upholds. You would want to believe the things which Jesus taught. If Jesus is your king, you are outraged when children get mutilated. You are outraged when our young people get brainwashed in these institutions. You are outraged when it is seen as a good thing to allow unchecked criminals into your neighborhoods to ravish your neighborhoods. He's the King of Kings. Is Jesus your King here today? Does he have authority over your life? If Jesus was our King, we would seek him in repentance. We would seek him in humility because this country needs the King to come and send revival into his people so that we stop with the nonsense and we stop with the silly political correctness and we just uphold the truth and we live for God come what may and we preserve what's good in this nation and we fight for the freedoms that we desire to be for the generations to come and we say it as a people under God. We know it's a problem when a human sinful heart takes that place of authority, which is why we don't have it. I ask you, is Jesus your King? Somebody might be here and say, I believe Jesus is my King, but yet they do not live the way your King wants you to live. They do not make decisions and go places the way your King wants you to go places and do things. If Jesus was our King, we would have no problem going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature in heaven because we were commanded by our King. And we would be free to go and make disciples, teaching them everything which he has taught us, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The King has commanded, do we submit? The King has commanded us to reach out to those who are truly hurting and truly suffering. If Jesus was the King, then we would not need the abundance of government handouts because Jesus King taught us that if you shall not work, you shall not eat. And Jesus King taught us to reach out to the widows and orphans and the invalids and those who cannot take care of themselves. That's what King Jesus taught. God's people demanded a king. But I want to say this. That the real focus of what happened here is not that the people wanted a king. But in verse 7, God says, they have not rejected you, Samuel. They have rejected me. And our country is in danger of rejecting God as the supreme and only authority that we need. Amen. So if God's people who are called by his name should humble themselves and seek his face and call on him and turn from their ways, then he will hear from heaven and he will come. He will restore them. He will revive them. I bring this message to preserve the authority of God in your life. May God be your King. May God be the King of America. As we continue to be a people governed under his principles by the people, for the people. June 14th is a very significant day, you know. It was June 14th that the militia was formed. It was June 14th the flag was adopted. It was June 14th that the nation celebrated 250 years. It was June 14th, 2010, when there was this lost boy who needed a king in his life and bent the knee and said to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, "I don't know you, I need you." When God became my king, June 14, 2010, I submitted to him. When God became your king, whenever it was, however it was, you submitted to him. He is now your king. May we serve him faithfully every day. Oh, we don't do it perfectly. We stumble, we fall. But at the end of the day, when we sit down, we look to Jesus, we realize he is our king. We remain loyal to him. Amen. Are you loyal to Jesus today? For he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we have you as our Lord. For if you were not our Lord, we would be lost. If you were not our Lord, this country wouldn't be here. For some other opposition, some other power would have dominated a long time ago. And Lord, I pray for this country. I pray for those who are fighting to preserve the freedoms of this country. God, please uphold them. And I pray for the Christians in this country who call on the name of the Lord and are, in a way, undermining what you have established here. I pray that they would turn and submit to you and uphold what you uphold as their king. And I pray that we, as citizens of this nation, should march on singing glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. We sing with those of old who sang in the ranks as they fought for the freedom. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the King, our Lord. Maybe somebody here this morning does not have Jesus as their King. Maybe somebody here this morning needs to bend the knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's an amazing thing to think that this king died for our sins. He died for your sins so that you could become his co-heir in his kingdom. Repent, turn from sin, and call upon the name of the Lord to save you. And join in the ranks of the armies of heaven to march on to bring the kingdom of God into the world around you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, our King. In your name we pray. Amen.